Hey everybody, it's Jeff. I hope you are enjoying season 5 of Manna and all the great guys that you are either being introduced to for the first time, or maybe you knew and you're just hearing them in a different way. It seems like every season I have to do one of these little pre-show messages for an episode that I messed up. And so I'd love to blame it on the technology. I'm sure it's something that I'm doing. And the irony is I seem to do it on the episodes that I'm most excited for you to listen to. I remember Ryan Ford in season 2, Tim Kennedy season 3. I'm sure I messed up in season 4. And now this season, season 5, and this episode here with Rob Birdsell. I remember ending the episode with Rob and just being so excited for everybody to meet him. And it was such a great conversation. And it is such a great conversation. And then as I'm playing it back, there's just these little technical snafus in it. And you might not even pick them up, but I pick them up. And I wanted to apologize both to Rob and to all of you. It's just not exactly the technical delivery does not match the wonderful messages and the just the insights from Rob. So anyway, the way I'm choosing to take it is that it's just the Holy Spirit challenging us to just listen just a little bit harder, so that we can really, really focus on the great message. So enjoy this episode. Sorry, and hopefully you won't be hearing from me again until season 6, and maybe not even season 6. Let's try to maybe get through season 6 without one of these little technical snafus. Enjoy.
A podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That's exactly what makes them extra to me, and I'm very excited for you to meet them. Now, the whole premise of Manna, for those that are just tuning in, is that, you know, this is a podcast of just a bunch of regular walk-around guys that just happen to live humble, holy lives of faith without necessarily doing a lot of preaching or reading from Scripture. But sometimes, and actually kind of all the time, Scripture is just, you know, the darn best way of relating to something or someone. So I am actually going to introduce today's guest by way of Matthew 25. Verses 14 through 30, which for those that haven't committed that to memory yet, is often referred to as the parable of the talents. And I'm not going to read it verbatim, but for anyone who's been within shouting distance of a church, you've heard this story of a master who is leaving his house. He's going on a trip, and before he leaves, he brings his 3 servants, and he basically entrusts portions of his property, and they call them talents, which was basically some old term that would like money. Okay. And talents were really valuable. Some estimates, you know, that you look up now, they say one talent was worth like 20 years worth of a worker's wages. Okay. So this was not an insignificant thing that this you know master was doing. So he's got his 3 servants. He's like, all right, I'm heading out of town, and religion, or did you lead more with one, and then it kind of turned into like, oh my gosh, I guess I'm now, you know, like you say, I'm kind of the resident bishop guy, you know, like or were they always kind of in equal proportion?
No, it actually led with religion. I don't know if you know this, but I spent many years discerning a call to the Jesuits, to the Society of Jesus. Huh? And so that was sort of the lead. In fact, senior year of high school, I said to one Jesuit, I want to enter and become a Jesuit. And he said, you're too young, go to college.
And that's a practical Jesuit right there.
Right. So faith has always been at the forefront, and that led me to teaching, which then became sort of the profession there was a period you mentioned where I, after teaching, I got my MBA and spent 7 years in management consulting. And Jeff, I hated every day of it. I was constantly trying to find a way back to education, and Chris Storia was that way back.
Yeah. Well, and that, I did want to ask about that. So after, like, how, what was it after teaching and after kind of, you know, what was the, what moved you out of that? Like, what was it, just kind of a, and this is such a cliche, but was it kind of a grass is always greener kind of a thing, or did you just have a sense that there was a kind of more that you were supposed to be doing beyond the classroom? What precipitated that move?
That's a good question. There are a few answers to that. One, probably the biggest one, is my wife is also a teacher, and she came home one day pregnant with her second daughter and said she doesn't want to be other kids' moms. She wants to be a mom to our two kids.
Yeah.
And there went half our cash flow. So the reality of being a father and two kids and, you know, yeah, a wife and mother who I fully respected wanted to be at home. That was one. That was the primary one. But the second one, my wife says I have professional attention deficit. I like change. I like to learn new things. I like to do new things. And after 7 years in the classroom, I loved it, but I was ready for something new and a new challenge. And the other one, the way I taught, and when I was, you know, I coached all three seasons. I was at school at 7. I was working till 10. I worked, you know, track meets, cross country meets, ski meets on the weekends. Like, it'd be hard to be a good father in that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, you know, when I got home, I was all in with my daughter, Julia. Like, that's all I wanted to do. I found it so hard to grade papers when she's around or prep for the next day. And if I was going to be a teacher, I was all in. So part of me was like, I want to go out, you know, a great teacher, not burnt out or not all in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great. And I love how, so, you know, you talk about that sort of segment, that tranche in kind of more of the, whatever, corporate consulting, how far in, if you can remember, because I mean, for, you know, for working for the man, if you will, I mean, you still had some pretty cool gigs. I mean, that Cristo Rey network of schools is honestly just so, for those listeners that don't know anything about Cristo Rey, we're not going to belabor it here, but it's worth going online. It is truly, I think, one of the most divine educational systems ever. And so it's not that you were, you know, selling deodorant, you know what I mean? It's not like you were some ad guy, you know, totally selling, you know, your soul. But when did you realize that you wanted to get, or was that what Cristo Rey was the movement towards that, to try to get you back to kind of where your home base was in kind of that education and faith space?
Yeah, no, that was it. That was the homecoming. I mean, I loved those 5 years, and it was amazing. We opened 12 new Catholic high schools serving exclusively low-income kids. I mean, it's amazing. And that was the return, if you will, back to Catholic education, to faith and education.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, and if we can just go back, we're going to do a little Benjamin Buttons now, go way, way back. You know, when you talk about, and I didn't know about the potential, you know, calling to clergy, that vocation. So I would imagine then, you know, if you're, you know, a teenager and picturing a life, you know, as a Jesuit, I mean, you must have had, faith must have been, I'm guessing, a pretty integral part of just growing up in the Birdsell household. What was it like as a kid growing up with?
And you know, people like St. Ignatius, and there's so many people that had such a strong affinity for Mary because there's so much there, whereas Joseph, there's not much there.
Yeah, just like a lot of us dads, just kind of get the short end of the stick. just keep paying the rent. You keep paying the rent, Joe. Okay, fun segment question number two. If you could go to church with any other guy, living or dead, famous or not, you could know him, you could have not known him, doesn't matter. Then this is where you have a lot of range, but it's just got to be a guy, and you're going to go to church. Who are you going to go to church with?
Okay, well, I'm going to break a rule again. I'm going to do one dead, one living, because I couldn't pick. Like, these are two guys that are just so big in my mind. Thomas Merton, very influential in my life as I was discerning being a Jesuit, and just Seven Story Mountain is remarkable. And unfortunately, we lost him too young, and I never got to meet him, but he would be one I just think would be like great to go to mass with, and then go get a cup of coffee afterwards, be like, what do you think of that mass? What do you think about that sermon? And the other one is living, Richard Rohr, Father Rohr, a Franciscan, and just so out there. And, you know, his stuff about, I don't know if you've read or heard of the universal Christ. And it's just, it takes me three times to read his stuff to figure out some sense of what he's talking about. So those would be my two, Thomas Merton and Richard Rohr.
Oh, that and Rohr is, he's fantastic. I'm almost sure. I think Richard Rohr, I mean, he's written so many books, but one book that that I read early on, I think I'm almost positive it was him. It was Why Be Catholic? And it was just this very straightforward, no nonsense, really easy to read because I'm not a great reader. And I remember just loving it. It's out of print now. You can't even get it, but it's I still have a copy of it and I'll go make sure that it was him. But yeah, just a fantastic thinker and communicator and just, a giant,
A book of his, it was now at our stage in life, amazing for me, Falling Upward About the Second Half of Life.
Yes.
Amazing book. Amazing, amazing book. Yeah. Anyone I've given it to is just like, he's talking to me. I'm like, no, he's talking to me.
I know, the mark of a great writer. Well, and the last question. Oh my gosh, I got so excited about Richard Rohr there. I know.
The most important one.
I got so excited about Richard Rohr there. It's going to wrap her up here. All right, so last question. Funds Increment question number three. If you could give one piece of advice, just one, at least that's what the rule is. We'll see where you take it. But if you could give one piece of advice to a younger man about living just a life like yours, just a life of, you know, humble, holy faith, but strong faith, what would that one piece of advice be?
This is a great question, by the way, and I will stick to the rules on this one, and it would be to have a daily prayer life. That for me, for many years, I was, you know, thinking I'm doing good work, I'm opening up new Catholic schools for low-income kids and so on and so forth, but there's going to be a time in everyone's life where they hit a dark patch, and if they don't have a personal relationship with God and with Jesus, it's going to be a lot more difficult than if they had a daily prayer life. And so, you know, Pope Francis, when somebody said, "Well, I don't have 30 minutes a day to pray," and he said, "Well, then you should be praying an hour a day."
So,
I would. My advice would be 20 to 30 minutes every day in prayer.
That's great. Yeah, that is, and so simple. And but you're absolutely right. That's a great recipe for sure. All right. Well, now we are at the end of the show. So, Rob Birdsell, thank you so much for just being a part of my life, for sharing so much of your life or parts of your life today with our Mana guests. I just thank the world of you and just really thank you for being with us here today, and wish you all the best in your continued investing of your talents for God. So.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you for listening to Mana. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to manapodcast@gmail.com.